Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
We have a big show ahead. Let's get it going.
The Bob and Sherry Show with Sherry.
You know, you talk a good game and you're all like, me, me, me.
And Bob.
I am not me, me, me.
And now, broadcasting from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show. Big one for you today. We've got comedian Mark Sweeney. We're going to tell you the story of how the sneeze guard at the buffet came to be. And I know you're going, what? Girl, listen,
yes.
The drama, the intrigue, the highs, the lows, the heartbreak, the disappointment. It's such a story. So I have to tell you guys, my husband is convinced I'm slowly poisoning him or trying to murder him or whatever because of all the true crime I watch. But I am not the person who's going to take him out. The person who's going to take him out is our youngest child, Karamia. So Karamia, they were on spring break. So Karamia was home for a few days. And Karamia went to Big Lots and bought it's a pale green plastic 35 millimeter film camera. Okay. So it's not anything. I think it was like $14. It's not anything fancy. It's a cheap plastic 35 millimeter film camera. And so Kevin and I are sitting out in the driveway. Our friend Jack Daniels, who's our program director at one of our affiliates, K104.7, he calls it clamp it time when he and his wife have a cocktail and sit in the driveway. So Kevin and I, we also do clamp it time. So we were sitting in lawn chairs in our driveway with a cocktail having clamp it time when Karamia comes home from the Big Lots. And I say, hey, T, what'd you find? And she opens up the bag and takes out the box that has the camera in it and says, it is a reusable disposable camera, which Kevin's cocked his head like a dog hearing a high pitched whistle and went, if it's disposable, how is it also reusable? And Karamia goes, well, it's different from other cameras because you put film in it. And when you take a picture, like, and she turned the box around and points, there's no like screen, like you can't see what the picture is. So you don't even know if the picture turned out until you get the film developed.
Did he just walk away?
No, he sat there and I could see he was trying so hard. Like, is this a trap? Is this a trick? Did I miss a sentence in here? And I knew exactly where this was going. So I just leaned back in my clamped chair and watched. And he went, so it's like a camera. And she went, well, it's like a camera, except you can't see the picture.
Wow.
And so it's
what
like a surprise.
What was the appeal? What was the appeal for her to buy this?
You know my daughters love retro vintage stuff. Karamia taught herself to crochet and do needlepoint. They have typewriters. She has a boombox. Like my kids, Olivia has a rotary dial princess phone she bought at Goodwill that's plugged into the jack in her apartment, and she can make calls. But it sounds like when she calls you, that she's calling you from an underground KGB cell in 1971. Like it's just the worst sounding phone ever. It's amazing. So Karamia goes, yeah, it's just like a camera, except shows him again. That you can't see the picture before or after you take it. And Kevin goes, right. So it's like you put film in it and take pictures and get the film developed. Like it's a camera. And she said, well, it's like a camera, but it's not a real camera because.
So is her reference that it's like a camera, but not a real camera because you cannot see what you just shot? Was that the.
Because Karamia is 100%
like on an
digital.
iPhone. Yeah.
Native. And when my girls were little and they would go to like YMCA summer camp for a week, I would send them with those cheap disposable cameras you get at like Walgreens,
right?
So that they could take pictures of their friends. And I have all those photos and they're hysterically bad and funny. But she was so pleased with herself. So Kevin said, I don't understand. Why did you feel like you needed to have this? you have a phone with a really good camera. Karamia said, but this is different because it's like a camera without being really a camera. And the pictures are probably going to be really cool because you can't see them until you get the film developed.
So the appeal is the surprise of going to the drugstore and then getting that packet. And you I wonder, you know what everybody would say? I wonder how many came out. Because the likelihood that half of them are horrible, out of focus, you know, just bad lighting, was very high.
Yeah, and she loves old, both my daughters love old vintage technology. So she disappears into the house as pleased with herself as she could be. And I'm not saying a word. Kevin sits there for a minute and he goes, I worry about losing my mind. And I think living with y'all is not helping it.
What's your favorite TV show, Petticoat Junction?
We've got more. She loves Lawrence Welk. We've got morons in the news coming up. We have things Bob didn't know. Comedian Mark Sweeney and how to spot a psychopath just by looking at them. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I have read so many different places the idea that true happiness and contentment, which may be a better thing to reach for than some fantasy idea we have of happiness, like contentment, comes from appreciating where you are in the moment you're there and what you have while you're there. You know, the idea that you bloom wherever you're planted, right? You've heard this your whole life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that it is people who have unrealistic expectations of what they deserve or what they've been cheated out of or what they're not getting, what other people have, that are miserable. And so you want to try to be really appreciative of everything that you have. And you have to work at it, right? It's a discipline because we live in a late capitalist consumer culture that tells us that we're inadequate and inferior and less than, and that the answer to those feelings can be bought. There's a product we can buy or an experience we can buy. There are things we can own that will bring us joy. When, of course, like we know deep down that as much as you like that new car, or e-bike or whatever, that's not the secret to happiness. So I'm working really hard and have been for a long time at this bloom where you're planted thing. But I had an experience yesterday that tells me that perhaps I've taken it too far. And here we go. So I went to the Pet Plus, Super Pet Plus, which is like a pet store, pet food store that's the size of a grocery store. And I just happened to be driving past it and thought, all right, let me pop in there because I need a couple of things. So I got some bougie food for Miss Esme and I went over to the reptile section and bought a little container of mealworms for Karamia's lizard, Yeti. So I got everything home and put it away, put the mealworms in the fridge. And then later decided, well, let me feed that boy because he eats about every 4 days. I'm sitting on the floor in her room in front of his habitat. And I open up that container of mealworms and said out loud, these are the plumpest and best mealworms. I'm going back there for my worms all the time. What an awesome find. Yeti, I have found you the fattest, sassiest mealworms, buddy. You're going to have a feast. And then I heard myself. I'm like, this is what your life is now. This is who you are now. You're someone whose life has narrowed so much that you're thanking the creator for this container of fat, juicy mealworms. Now, the mealworms that are about to be swallowed whole by the lizard, not feeling the gratitude in quite the same way. But these were this was the best container of mealworms I have ever bought for this reptile in a year. And I reached for the tongs, which Max will tell you because he is coming to my house on Saturday to feed Yeti for me.
Yes.
Max will tell you it's about a foot long tongs. And I plucked up one of those tongs. And when I tell you that fat, juicy mealworm whipped around and almost winked at me before I fed it to Yeti, I was like, yeah, I'm doing something right. I texted my daughter. I found the best mealworms. Went upstairs and said to my husband, you know who found the best mealworms? This girl right here.
For the mealworms. Their destiny is already set. I mean, it's set. They know what they're doing. So, you know.
I know what you're talking about, though. I know what you're talking about with that moment where you say, is this where my life is? The other day, I looked at the weather forecast for the next day, and I went, oh, that's great. I can go to the dump. The rain will be gone. I can go to the dump tomorrow.
Yeah. That's it. Like, you're like, yeah, buddy, who's going to the dump tomorrow? This boy is dump bound.
You're not stopping me. Life, you are not going to keep me out of that dump.
The way that I went upstairs after feeding him and felt, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just like another Italian mom who's like, eat, 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 here, have more. Any living thing that I can feed gives me so much satisfaction. I went upstairs and I coasted on the high of giving that little lizard a first class meal for like an hour.
Yep. So, well, you're blooming where you are planted. That's what you're doing. Yeah.
And I'm blooming where I'm planted. And also, if this isn't the most pathetic cry for help, like, I need to get out.
You should go to the dump. House. It's fantastic. You really should. Oh. So satisfying.
I call shotgun when we go, and I've got some cardboard I need to get rid of. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bob and Sherry. You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot. With Morons in the News.
This is a first in Morons in the News. Actually, it's a first, I think, in my life also. This is from the Korea Times newspaper. There is a television network there, a station, I guess, called 8 News. So it's just like in the USA, 8 Action News. You know, it's just like here. And so the guy who is the 6 o'clock anchor is a man whose name is Cho Chang-byeom. And he was having difficulty reading the news to his viewers. He was stumbling over words like candidate promises and voting precautions over and over again. Just, he couldn't get the words out straight. The bottom line is, he was drunk when he was doing the 6 o'clock news. That is something that I've watched a lot of newscasts. I don't think I have ever seen a drunken anchor. Have you?
No, but I would watch a lot more local news if I thought it was a possibility.
Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Yeah, he was going, and he kept doing it and doing it. People started calling the TV station, leaving messages, hey, your anchor's loaded. And they took down his, he's still employed, but they took down all references to him, at least temporarily. I have seen an anchor who they came to too quickly once, who had he had just taken a drag on a cigarette, and it was in his lungs. And they came to him, and he had to blow it out on air. It was hysterical to see smoke coming out of the anchor's, you know, usually very stern-looking face. So anyway, that's a first for me. Never heard it, never seen it, and I agree. I would watch more often if that were the case.
Boston, the Maynard police have arrested and charged a man who pretended to be a delivery driver and broke into 7 homes in one night, stealing credit cards, guns, and everything else he could put his hands on. His name was Joseph Encarnacion, and he's 39, and he was charged with 28 counts, including several counts of breaking and entering during the daytime, and he also did it at night. They got a call from residents after about 4 p.m. notifying that there was a stranger in their apartment. The resident said the man, now identifies as a concierge, allegedly claimed to be a mobile app-based food delivery driver. And then he left. So I don't know how many of those delivery drivers come into your house, but, you know, he left. Throughout that day and into the next morning, 7 other people reported break-ins and items stolen from their home. One person said 3 guns had been stolen. The Maynard Police Department quickly scoured the surrounding area. They got some video surveillance footage, and they found the suspect vehicle, and they were able to get a description, and they got him. He was arrested in his apartment, and it was searched, and police found most of the stolen items from the break-ins, including a 4th gun and over $6,000 in cash. Mm. In total, he is charged with all kinds of 3 counts of breaking and entering, larceny, unlawful possession of a firearm because he stole them. It's a ton. And everything totals up, and they're holding him with no bail, and he's probably not going to be delivering anything or stealing anything for a while.
Mr. Incarcion is going to be incarcerated.
Incarcerated.
And finally, in Morons in the News, I'm really glad to give the Sunshine State a break. This one happened in Ireland. So a driver with no driver's license got popped at a DUI checkpoint in County Waterford, and big time DUI. So they arrested him and they detained him at the station for 3 hours. And then police watched him get back into his car. He's still intoxicated. He's just gotten out of jail. He has no driver's license. And right in front of the police, he got back into his car and almost crashed into a passing taxi. And the police just basically went,
"You again?"
Walked over to the car. He hadn't gotten away from the police station. Walked over to the car and arrested him for the second time.
Right.
And the police said, for his own safety and everyone else, we've rearrested him and charged him. And we're holding him, and now he has to go to court. Now, in Ireland, you know, if it's your first offense, it'll go a little bit easier on you. But in no country on the planet can you drive intoxicated with no driver's license and then crash into things in front of the police. I don't care where you live. You're in trouble for that. That is Morons in the News. Coming up, we have a round of Things Bob Didn't Know, plus comedian Mark Sweeney, and how to spot a psycho almost instantly. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
Vancouver, Canada officials have come up with a new idea to keep pedestrians safe from being hit by cars in crosswalks. They have placed bricks at crosswalks with a sign that says grab, look, wave, and then cross the street. It seems that when a pedestrian is walking across the street with a brick in their hand, cars pay more attention and they stop because they think they're fixing to get hit with a brick. Now, the bricks are foam, of course. They're not real bricks, but the visual is enough to stop traffic. They were waving red flags when they crossed before, but it didn't work so well. The group of pedestrian safety advocates explained it this way. Drivers didn't fail to yield for pedestrians because they didn't see them. Oh, they saw them. It's because they don't care. Also, people find that the flags were demeaning and humiliating to use. But when you walk across the street with a brick in your hand, it feels sort of badass. You know what I'm saying? Because they were averaging 7 pedestrians being hit daily.
I am 30 so
were killed
disappointed
every year.
We
yes, this is the most polite country ever.
Yeah, we don't think of Canadians acting this way. Like, yeah, people in Philly or Newark, Delaware, chucking bricks at you. All right. But I can't believe. Now, I have to agree. Very few of us want to enthusiastically wave a red flag. It's like, it feels personal, you know. It feels like
you look like a tour leader at Disneyland when you're waving a red flag. But when you walk across and you got a brick in your hand and you make eye contact with a driver, you're pretty sure you're going to make it to the other side. I think it's cool.
In this country these days, you got to wave a white flag.
You know, though, I'm with you. I think it's cool, but I think it says nothing good about our species that the politest country on earth now has to threaten to throw bricks at people to avoid being run over.
I know.
What is happening to us?
I know.
The decline of civilization has even hit Canada now.
It works.
Yep. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Yes, thank you, Max. It's the bit that always delivers. There's just so much to talk about here. Okay, I'm going to talk about attention span. I just read this article. The average attention span in the United States has reduced, and it's their thinking because of iPhones and the internet. How long do you think and some people, you know, they have long attention spans. Other people, very short. What do you think the average attention span
is? Average?
And that means you're doing something, it's a project, or you're watching something, you're listening to something. Before you start drifting into another subject, before you start just kind of losing concentration because you're kind of bored with it, how many minutes?
I'm going to go with 3.
Okay. Max?
That seems a little long.
3 minutes.
I'm not talking. I have a long attention span, but I'm going to go with 3.
I hope mine's longer than. I'd like to think so, but I'm going to say.
Situational, though. It's situational.
I'm going to say 90 seconds.
Lamar?
Yeah. That's not much.
I'm saying, are
you still listening?
Minutes.
Are you still listening?
I'm saying, wait, what's on this phone? Oh my God, I hadn't looked at it. No, 2 minutes.
2 minutes. No, this is really based on your responses. It's 14 minutes. 14 minutes. And I think that Lamar is right.
Am I writing a term paper?
It's situational.
Minutes, that's a long time.
It is a long time, but sometimes you're really into the TV show. Or you're really into, I don't know, the album. You're really into a movie or something like that. Or you're talking to somebody on the phone and it's an important call or whatever. But it's 14 minutes.
Let me ask you this.
Don't
you think that it's situational in the fact that if it's something that it's very important that I pay attention to this and get every word of this, that's when I start to
drift. I think that's true. Yeah,
pressure,
I think that's true.
Pressure.
But I think the 14 minutes thing probably is right. And I have to believe that back in the 1950s, grandparents, great-grandparents' time, it was a lot longer than that. Because I will watch Mary watching The Bachelor, and she's watching it, but all of a sudden she reaches for her phone, and she is looking at her phone while The Bachelor is on, or it named the TV show, Lifetime movie, whatever it is. She's watching two screens at one time. And that was not done, you know, even, 30 years ago? Something like that?
I always watch.
Well, yeah, because you...
Always.
Yeah, Lamar used to stack TVs on top of one another when he was a kid to watch two things at the same time.
I got to have at least two things going on at one time. Always.
A multitasker, are you? A multitasker. The first guy right there. Here's another thing I didn't know. There are so many trees in London, England. It can be classified as a forest, according to a UN definition. Isn't that wild? I mean, it's one of the top, what would you say, most populated cities in the world, maybe top 5. There's like 13 million people that live in the London area, and it's still considered a forest. I don't know. I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
The loudest noise ever recorded was the eruption of a volcano named Krakatoa. That was in 1883. The sound of that explosion traveled around the world multiple times.
Whoa.
So
that's interesting.
Now, I don't know where that is. It sounds like it's in Polynesia somewhere. I could be wrong, or possibly Japan. But that sound, so it blew. And you could hear it around the world, not once, not twice, but 3 times. That is real. I kind of would like to hear that, wouldn't you? Just to hear what that would sound like.
Not next to it, though. How loud was it? If it was.
Oh, it had to be just. Yeah, absolutely crazy. Singing can make you feel less tense and can relieve anxiety and depression. So if you're having a really bummer of a day, unless you're Sherry, because anybody around you, if she starts singing, it's not going to relieve your depression. It could make
your day worse. I'm pretty sure.
It could make the days worse. And finally, research suggests that when someone disagrees with you, you should speak faster so they have less time to process what you are saying.
I always do that. I always do it really quick because I don't agree with you on this. I really don't.
It makes sense though, doesn't it? It'll throw them if you're fast on your feet. It'll throw them because you're firing right at them. And that is a few more of the things Bob didn't know. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, people are starting to think about vacations now. I think a lot of folks who are able to go on vacation somewhere probably already booked a cabin or a hotel or a motel room or a friend's couch or whatever. Every week, we pick a teacher to win the Bob and Sherry swag, and they're nominated to win a vacation from Visit Florida to enjoy the beauty of Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. All you have to do is nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com. And I was looking at a travel website, and they, for some reason, threw in a clip of Jerry Seinfeld on The Tonight Show quite a long time ago. So I said, why is he here? And it was about vacations, and I laughed out loud. Let's listen to Jerry Seinfeld.
Vacationing, family vacationing. I hate it. I hate going. My wife hates going with me. The kids hate going. I still go because what is the difference of doing one more thing I don't like on top of not liking anything anyway?
What don't you like about a vacation?
Everything. But it doesn't matter because when I do something I don't like, it doesn't bother me. That's all I'm used to. I am a very happy person hating everything throughout my entire life. That's how I would describe myself. And my wife, it's tough on her. She gets upset when I have a bad time. I don't.
You don't?
No, I knew it was going to suck.
You knew it.
And then I'm going to complain about it, which is something I do enjoy. That's what I like.
You like complaining.
I love complaining.
I just think that really is so relatable to so many people.
I have this other clip that he did about vacations. It's about 25 seconds.
We came back from a family vacation, beautiful family vacation.
That's nice.
Which I call, let's pay a lot of money to go fight in a hotel.
Right. I've been to that resort.
I've been there. Let's fight on bikes. Let's fight on paddle boards, lounge chairs. Let's fight about how well-behaved those other children seem to be.
It's so true. I mean, if you're completely, we all love our family. We are blah, blah, blah. But how many family vacations have you been on? And they were complete. It was complete hell. You know, the sand was too hot. You're lugging the stuff down to the beach. And God bless. I mean, if you have enough money to go, you should, I guess, just feel great about it. But I can remember one drive to get to the beach took like 4.5 hours. And one of the kids, I forget which one, is in this seat and like toddler age and screamed for the whole 4 hours. By the time I got there, I wanted to go to the beach and drown myself. It was so annoying.
When Karamia was a baby and had colic, I took my kids everywhere I had to go for work because I had to. And so we had done something, the Bob and Sherry Show had done something about 7 hours away. And I didn't want to fly with the girls because they were so little in their ears and everything. So I just drove Karamia toward the end of the day. It's colic time. Karamia wailed for about 5 hours.
And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do.
Olivia and I were singing everything we could think of. The wheels on the bus. There was a farmer, had a dog. Like we just, and you know, so Olivia was 2 when Karamia was born and going through this colic. And 2-year-olds are savage, merciless creatures. They're assassins, right? So Olivia would be like, why are you crying, tiny baby? And then she'd give her a good pinch and launch into another verse of the wheels on the bus. But you know what? I'd miss those days. I'd go back there in a heartbeat. Yeah, absolutely. for sure.
Would you just be better off staying at home, though? Would you be better off staying at home and, I don't know, taking them out, especially when they're very young, taking them out to McDonald's for lunch? Everybody's got their own stuff. Would you be better off, really?
No, because, you know, you're making memories. And I love people that say, yeah, but they're not going to remember any of this. So what am I supposed to do? Lock them in the laundry room until they're old enough to form a memory? Hey, I'll see you guys when you're 5 or 6, okay? Because I'm not wasting a minute's time or money on y'all now. Because you're not going to remember any of it.
As my kids got older, they would look at the pictures when they did stuff that they didn't remember, but they see their self. They see what they were doing. They see, you know, I mean.
And that's satisfying?
That.
They like that?
Yeah.
They like
that? Yeah. Because
here's the thing, you guys. Yeah. Here's the thing. You may not have a conscious memory of the experience, but the experience helps shape you as a little person, as a little human. Everything added up, everything counts. Just because you don't have a conscious memory of it doesn't mean that exposure to those new sights and sounds and words and foods and all of that wasn't awesome.
I guess so, yeah. It's one of the few pictures I have of myself as a kid on the beach with my parents in Maine. And I love that picture. So you may be right on that. Seinfeld had it, though, pretty down pat.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty down pat. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Mark Sweeney.
Yeah, because the baby of the family, I'm the oldest, and the baby of the family hasn't made, you know? My little sister graduated from high school. My parents bought her a car. Car! I graduated. My parents gave me a check for $50. Yeah, and a suitcase. And the check bounced. Yeah, no respect as an oldest. And my parents made me start babysitting when I was 10 years old. I got 5 little brothers and sisters, and my parents left the house with a 10-year-old in charge. Because back then, no one really cared what happened to their kids. I ran away from home once. I was gone 2 days, came back, no one even noticed. No one noticed. My mom's like, well, where have you been? I'm like, I ran away. And she's like, huh? How did she respond? Huh? How was it? Well, I'm hungry and my socks are wet. But no one cared back when I was a kid about child safety. It was a beautiful time, you know? Your parents didn't care what happened. That's why they had 5, 6, 7, 8 kids. They knew they were going to lose a few along the way. Because we didn't have any safety equipment. No, there were no car seats. There were no seat belts. And we certainly didn't ride around our neighborhoods riding our bikes, wearing a little crash on. Maybe I should put some tassels in my handlebars, and that way the 6th graders can give me a really good beating when I go to school. You gotta learn the hard way. You wrecked your bike and split your head open. Well, you are a lot more careful from now on. Laying at the foot of the driveway with a broken bike, all the wind knocked out of you, the skin torn off your back, going, oh, that hurt. You know what? That's the last time I'm riding my bike off the roof of the garage. That was stupid. It's the dumbest thing we've done since we were shooting bottle rockets at the gas can, remember? Man, that was the fastest we ever saw my father move, trying to put up that garage fire. He was quick, too. We found that out one summer. He got caught in the middle of a Roman candle fight. Man, he runs like a bunny. Look at him. Sorry, Dad, can't stop. There's 6 shots. That was only 5, wasn't it? Can only do that once. So it takes like 2 months for that red burn dye to work its way out of your forehead. Very attractive way to start the 5th grade. Morning, ladies. Don't mind this. I spent my summer in Mumbai. But it was a good time and no one cared about their children. Like our playgrounds. Our playgrounds were death traps. They were embedded in concrete. kill you. Like the teeter totter. Yeah, that was the first playground apparatus that you used where you found out which of your friends you can really trust. There's a lot of trust involved in sharing a teeter totter. Because you get on that thing and it is just eyeball to eyeball the whole time. Because if you got up top and looked away, for some reason they just jump off, send you crashing back to earth, snap both your legs and drive your spine right up to the top of your scalp. That was all the day's play. We're just playing. We have those little metal horses on those big truck springs, man. And you ride those things, you had to keep right in sync with the spring. Because if you got out of sync, bam, bam! And for some reason, you couldn't just jump off. You're just crashing your whole face in. You finally fall off due to blood loss. Standing there, half your face is caved in, all your teeth are gone. You're like, who's supposed to be watching us? Moms are all sitting underneath the shade tree getting hammered on mimosas at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Jamie, I think one of your kids broke his face open. Honey, are you all right? He's fine. We're going to leave in an hour, hon. We have those metal reflective slides. Yeah, they heat up to like 900 degrees in the summer. And nobody said anything. There's no signs on there saying caution. You wouldn't find out how hot they were until you went down wearing shorts. You leave those two big strips of butt meat sizzling like bacon on the slide. If you took off your shirt and went down face first, that's when you found out that boys, too, had nipples. Just burn right off like, well, that's fabulous. It looked like G.I. Joe.
Oh, that is comedian right. Mark Sweeney. Let's get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh, and why not subscribe to the Bob and Sherry newsletter while you're there? We never spam you. It's just loaded with cool stuff and contests and pictures and videos and all kinds of neat things. BobandSherry.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
We just had on comedian Mark Sweeney, and he, with part of his act, reminded me of my childhood in a way. He said that his sister got a car from her parents, his sister, when she graduated from high school. He got $50 and a bag, and the check bounced. And looking, I hadn't thought about this. I never got a car from my parents, not even an old beat up thing. Just, we didn't have any extra money. So I was taking the bus, the city bus. I left home, and my brother, who's 5 years younger than me, my father suddenly started doing pretty good in business. My brother got a car. My sister got this used Ford. It wasn't a flashy car, but it was a car. And she got her college paid. I did not get my college paid. I had to come up with that by myself. And I'm just realizing sometimes it's just the timing of being a kid. Or it's the timing of who you're married to, right? Like, you may get married young and, you know, the person that you're married to is not making much money, and then things don't go well, and you divorce. But all of a sudden, they start to hit it, or you start to hit it. And they're going, or you're going, I can't believe my timing was so bad on this. And I can't believe my sister and brother got a car. It was all in the timing, and there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah. A lot of times it goes the other way. Take heart that the oldest lives the best life, and there ain't nothing left
That's
for the
true.
Little ones.
You know, so, that is very true also.
I feel your pain about, you've never been on the right side of real estate. You weren't on the right side of birth order. I'm right there with you,
know.
And I feel it. I did.
I know it. I know it. It's just...
Oh, well. Hey, oh, well. Chit-chat pays for everything.
Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Talk back time. We just love hearing from y'all. And you can call us 24-7 at 844-52-SHERI. Or you can snatch up our app. It's free in Google Play and the App Store. And look at the bottom center of the screen, the little cartoon microphone. Tap it and talk, and the app will do all the work.
Hi, everybody. I was just listening to the Oddcast about Sherry's love of raisins and reminded me of a story. When my son was about a year and a half old, one of his very favorite snacks was white raisins. And so we went to visit my mom. We were out shopping and running around all day. So I gave my son his usual snack, the white raisins. Several hours went by. We got home. My mom took my son into the bedroom to change his diaper, excuse me. And then all of a sudden she's like, come in here, come in here. She's yelling at me. So I ran in to see what was wrong. And she said, when did he have grapes today? I said, what are you talking about? Grapes are a choking hazard at his age. We didn't give him grapes. And she said, well, he had grapes. I said, what are you talking about? And she pulled his diaper back down and it was filled with grapes, green grapes. Fully intact green grapes. And we were like, what happened? How did he get grapes in his diaper? And then we realized he clearly hadn't chewed the raisins well. And as they passed through his system, they rehydrated and became green grapes and came out in his diaper. So that was a long time ago. And we still laugh about it. So anyway, thanks for the show. Bye.
Well, thanks for that image. I can't do this anymore.
Wait.
I did not know
that could happen. Did you know that could happen?
I have never heard of anything like that.
Wait, Bob, you can rehydrate and plump up a raisin. Now, a regular raisin, it'll plump up, but it doesn't turn back into a grape. But if your grandma looking in the baby's diaper, and you see what looks like some small green grapes? Yeah, I could see it. I can totally see that happen.
And then shoot it out your baby's butt. Are you kidding me?
Bob. We can let go of the shootout stuff. Let's stop that. Oh, no.
You know, it appears
in the diaper.
Let go of your puritanical revulsion of the body and its functions and think for a minute about the magic of science. This baby eating those raisins, as these raisins pass through
I'm thinking about the guy who's in line
canal,
getting a breakfast snack right now. That's what I'm thinking
about.
Pulled
all the moisture and rehydrated those raisins. That's pretty magical. That's pretty cool.
I don't think I'm buying it. I think that was like a family story that got passed around. Have you ever heard of anything like that happening? Have you ever read a magazine article about it?
Well, the lady just said it happened. You think people she's making that up?
People don't exactly walk around going, oh, hey, that reminds me of what was in Jared's diaper this morning. It's not a thing we talk about. I bet this happens more than we know.
Huh. Well, let's do a call out to our listeners. What do we have? Right around 1 million people every week that tune in for at least a little bit of time. Is there anyone out there that has seen this happen?
Well, okay, yeah. 844-52-SHERRY. Now, Bob, I'm going to remind you. I'm making a note. I'm making a note to myself because when the calls start coming in, about what people have found in babies' diapers, and you're like, why is this happening to me? I wanted to be an international jet setter. I'm going to remind you that you asked for it.
I will tell you, the question I asked Cora was, is it possible to rehydrate a raisin? And it says, yes, you can place a raisin in a bowl of warm water for about 15 to 30 minutes and allow it to absorb the water, and it will plump up.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that when you're baking, sometimes you want to rehydrate your raisins. That sounds like code for something else.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, baby. So I'm gonna quit work early today and rehydrate your raisins. Hey, all right, Bob, just remember,
I'd like to see that product on Shark Tank, you know?
All right, so 844-52-SHERRY or grab the app and hit us a talk back. Has your baby rehydrated raisins in his or her digestive tract?
Oh, my God.
The I-Team would like to know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come on down to the Bob and Sherry store with all kinds of great merchandise.
Color me curious.
Including the Bob and Sherry coloring book. A coloring book for exhausted adults.
You know what? I'm exhausted. You exhaust me.
Color your stress away. 50 fun images with lots of snarky slogans.
That's correct.
Order them for your friends and neighbors. Makes a great gift for mom on Mother's Day.
That's music to a mother's ears.
Or anytime. Get it today. Just hit the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
So you know how every once in a while there'll be a new thing that makes the rounds in the media about psychopaths and are you working for one? Are you married to one? Are you one?
Yeah, right.
How to spot one? And you'll often, you know, they talk about like the dark triad, personality traits, lack of empathy, and all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Here's the newest way to spot a psychopath. And when I tell you this, Bob, you're going to be like, oh yeah, this is it. So this is an expert in psychopathy named Dr. Nicholas Carderis. And he said that, listen, a lot of really dangerous criminals are surprisingly sweet and have plenty of empathy. You know, they're perfectly nice. And all of these things you think you know about how to spot a psychopath don't really apply to all psychopaths. But here's one that does. He said that what he looks at when he is being asked to assess if a person is a cold-blooded psychopath is this. Ready? Psychopaths have a shark-like look in the eyes, a dead stare, an emptiness, almost like a dead fish, almost like the other person is looking straight through them. Mm-hmm. We worked for a guy like this, Bob. Mm-hmm. We worked for dead shark eyes. We did.
Yep.
He's like,
that's very true.
He's like, the thing about psychopaths, they are really good mimics. They don't themselves feel kindness or empathy or gratitude or any of those things, but they understand that they have to fake it in order to fit mm-hmm. in and get along. Mm-hmm. And so they become like starting in their early lives, really good at copying, like it's studying you and going, oh, that's how you act when somebody's sad, or, oh, mm-hmm. that's what you're supposed to say when someone's mm-hmm. upset. And so they become really good at copying that, and they become really good at like, that's funny, not to me, but to others, right? Mm-hmm. But the place that they don't check is their eyes. They said that, this doctor said that it really is the tell. It's the giveaway. It's the dead, cold, flat shark eyes.
I believe it 100%.
Yeah. So guys, as we discuss this, are you thinking about people you've encountered that have that?
Yeah, there's a deadness in their eyes. The eyes really are, it's a cliche, a look into the soul. There's no two ways about it. Not always bad. The ex and I paid an artist to do a sepia drawing of my daughter, Landon. And of course, it's not in my house now. and she got Landon's eyes so perfectly. It was breathtaking to me. She saw something in Landon and she could transform it into this drawing with Landon's eyes. And the person you're talking about did have that dead look. And, you know, he could put on a smile when he wanted to a smile, but it was
But it was
smile.
Just his mouth. Yeah.
It was just a frown mouth. Turned upside down. Yeah, exactly. And so I believe that. I totally believe that. I mean, there's an old trick that if you want to intimidate somebody and you're talking to them and they're difficult, when you look at them, look between their eyes. Just stare at that space between the eyes. And you will have a scary appearance on your own face doing that. So a person who is a psychopath is doing that naturally.
Well, the trick with the psychopath is all of the human behaviors that, you know, make us human, mm-hmm. They're play acting those. They don't really feel them, but it doesn't travel all the way up to the eyes. And as I sit here and think about it, like, ooh, that's my father, but it's also a couple former managers that I know.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I totally believe that. Well, I mean, it's coming from a guy who's an expert in this area.
Yeah. So keep an eye on the eyes. And if somebody has that flat dead shark stare, stop right there and stop making it your responsibility to give them the benefit of the doubt. Just don't. Because now you know, according to this anyway, and hopefully that we don't have, there's like not a medical condition called shark eyes where you're a nice, lovely person and can't help looking like Jaws. But that's what this expert says. It's in the eyes. All right, straight ahead. Oh, this is just going to be thrilling. We're going to tell you the exciting story of the sneeze guard. And let me tell you, it's got it all. It's got excitement, wonder, magic, discovery, hope, despair, and an innovative inventor right at the heart of it.
How do you spot a psychopath using a sneeze guard?
He's the one reaching into the beet salad with his bare hands, Max. That's how you spot that one. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can You Believe This is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
What's more American than the buffet? Doesn't it seem like the most American thing ever, ever, ever?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the buffet did not exist in America until the 1939's World Fair. And at the World Fair, one of the big things that amazed people and dazzled people and delighted them was they came into the pavilion and there was a Swedish smorgasbord, which had like all sorts of things on it. There were cold foods and hot foods and sweet foods and savory foods, and you could serve yourself. People could not stop talking about it. Like, what a concept, right? So one of the people that was really inspired by that was a man named Johnny Garneau, and he decided he wanted in on this self-service, pick your own food and pile your plate. And so he opened his very first buffet in 1952. But Johnny thought, you know, sure, it was fine at the World's Fair to have Swedish food on the smorgasbord, but this is America. And my smorgasbord is going to be like roast beef and potatoes and bread, all the things Americans love. And so he named it Johnny Garneau's American Style Smorgasbord. And he was running locations in Pennsylvania and Ohio, but Johnny was a germaphobe. And he would watch customers line up at his smorgasbord and they'd be like bending over and giving the food a good sniff. And his daughter said, oh, I don't want, he told her, I do not want these people sneezing on the food. It so grossed Johnny Garneau out that he got together with a team of engineers to invent the sneeze guard for the buffet.
Oh,
right?
I love that man.
No kidding.
I love that man.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now, The idea of a sneeze guard had been around for a while, and sometimes it was like a stainless steel sort of barrier, and sometimes it was a pane of glass that was in front of the food, and but you couldn't serve yourself. They had to have an employee back there, which you've seen at certain cafeteria-style restaurants. Somebody stands there and serves you. But Johnny Garneau is like, no, the thrill of the smorgasbord is serving yourself. So at the exact same time that he's trying to figure this out, there are school boards in Cincinnati, Ohio, that are arguing over the exact same thing for school cafeterias. And they were like, well, I don't know, like if we have a horizontal plate of glass with just a little opening at the bottom, then the students can dish out their own food. But that was awkward because they, when they tried that, as the kids would reach in to get their food, they would knock other people's trays off. So then in Louisiana, a year later, they said, all right, we're going to try this 23-inch tall plate of vertical glass. There will be a 7-inch opening on the bottom. 7 inches, that seems good, right? Well, it still was kind of messy because people would reach up under that 7-inch opening and go for the meatloaf, and they would knock things over. Johnny Garneau, the germaphobe and the inventor of the American-style buffet, was still not happy. He wanted to make the glass horizontal or diagonal rather than vertical. Because here's what Johnny said. The problem isn't the vertical glass. People are leaning over and looking down at the food. And here comes their germs and particulates. And I have never seen the word particulate spun in such a way that made it so gross. So he's the reason that that full sort of horizontal over the food angled sneeze guard even exists. But of course, that was met with the next problem. Johnny hated the way people would share serving spoons with their dirty, germy hands. But there didn't seem to be a fix for that. So we can thank Johnny Garneau for the sneeze guard over the salad bar and the buffet. But Johnny, he's gone now. He's in heaven. And Johnny is looking down and he's shaking his head because he knows where your hands have been as you reach for the tongs to get yourself a piece of chicken. So y'all be careful out at the buffet. And the next time you go, raise your endlessly refillable glass to Johnny Garneau, who's the reason we have buffets and sneeze guards.
Awesome.
We're
going to
post
John.
This up. We're going to post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
So that's ABBA and the fantastic Dancing Queen. I think that ABBA is going to become sort of like Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley. I think they're going to be, and the Beatles, I think ABBA is going to be with us forever.
Oh, yeah, but I think they've proven that.
Man, they're worth over $1 billion.
I don't think they're ever going to go away. They are reportedly set to sign a multi-million dollar deal for their Avatar-led concert show. People who work for Resorts World Hotel in Las Vegas have secured the rights to bring the pioneering digital ABBA Voyage to Las Vegas. You know, it was a big story, and I didn't believe it when it first came out that they were offered. And this, Sherry and I think we were maybe together 10 years when ABBA was offered $1 billion. When $1 billion was $1 billion, you know, you didn't hear about billionaires back then to do a world tour. One tour for $1 billion, and they turned it down. They just did not want to do it. Maybe it was because, you know, they were one of them was divorced from the other. It could have been infighting.
They don't like traveling, and they already
and they
had
like
so
traveling.
Much money.
Right.
Like, how much more money do you need was the thought, I think.
Yeah, right, exactly. Their songs, you know, they're not aimed at a guy like me, but when their songs come on, I listen to them. They're all so hooky. And I don't care what David Crosby said when he said they never produced one good song. Come on, Mr. Cranky. God love you. But their songs are so sugary sweet and so hooky from the first note to the last note. I can see people going to an Avatar-led ABBA show in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Same. I think it'll be a wild hit.
I think it'll be a wild hit, and it's been how many years since this song was out? Probably 40 years? Something like
that? More than that.
More than that? My God. And they're all still in. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
It's true crime time. Woo, buddy! It used to be a whole lot easier to get away with murder. And a man in Oregon just discovered that the hard, painful way. He's been found guilty in the 1980 cold case murder of a 19-year-old college student. 1980. He's been walking free for 44 years. How did they bust him? Well, according to the district attorney office there, his name is Robert Arthur Plimpton. He's 60 years old now. He's been found guilty of first-degree murder. Prosecutors could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he had also assaulted her while she was still alive. I'll go ahead and not finish the rest of that sentence, and you can, what you're thinking is what happened, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's go back to January 16th, 1980, when students at Mount Hood Community College in Gresham, Oregon were on their way to class when they saw something, and it was the body of 19-year-old Barbara Mae Tucker in a wooded area near a parking lot, and for decades, this went unsolved. This was the coldest of cold cases. There were witnesses who said that they'd seen a man come out of that area with a woman leading her toward campus. And so it was thought that, well, that's her killer, and that's Barbara Mae. She was really tall and strong and athletic. She was a basketball player and had competed nationally in basketball. She was incredibly talented at crafting. Her family said she was goofy and ambitious. She wrote poetry and she wrote songs. And he took all of that away from her, and then he got away with it. But things are different now. And Cece Moore, who's a genetic genealogist who runs a group called DNA Detectives, and if you're a fan of like this kind of thing, true crime, you've probably heard Cece's name before. She tested genetic material that was collected at the crime scene. And one of the things they collected at the crime scene was a piece of chewed up chewing gum. And that piece of ABC gum has been sitting in an evidence file for 40 plus years. Well, Cece Moore ran the DNA and plugged it into a database called GEDmatch. And we discovered that Robert Arthur Plimpton was a likely contributor to the DNA profile. So Oregon police put him under surveillance back in 2021 and began investigating his past. In 1985, 5 years after Barbara Mae Tucker's murder, our dude here was convicted of second-degree kidnapping. He served just over 2 years for that. Then, between 1993 and 1997, here's Robert Plimpton again. Two more six-month sentences for DUI charges and parole violations. He was accused in 1997 of an assault on and an attack on a woman and attempted sodomy, but the grand jury found insufficient evidence, so he walked on that. None of this added up to point to Arthur Plimpton as being Barbara Mae Tucker's killer, but it showed at least that he was violent and dangerous and up to no good. So they collected that piece of gum and they sent it off for analysis. And sure enough, it matched the DNA that they had found on her body. Ask me how old he was at the time of the murder.
30?
No, younger than that. I'm going to say like 18.
He was 16 years old.
Good
16
Lord.
16 years old. His lawyers argued that there was reasonable doubt because it happened a long time ago. But the judge said, this court has zero doubt whatsoever that Robert Plimpton did this. We have the DNA. They have found him guilty. They have solved this 44-year-old cold case. They have brought justice home to Barbara Tucker's family. And our man here is going to be sentenced in Oregon on June 21st. So a couple of things here.
Yeah, go
Don't ahead. Be killing people. And also put your gum in the trash, you filthy animal. Like I don't know how, people, you're going to get caught. I don't know how else to say it. What was your question, Bob?
Well, first of all, he never even thought, because they didn't have this sort of technology back then. A piece of gum was just a piece of gum. If he was 16 years old, what sort of punishment does he get for doing this if he's convicted of killing her?
I do not believe he'll be tried as a juvenile. He clearly wasn't tried as a juvenile. He was tried as an adult and found guilty of first degree murder. So game over for this guy. And why in the world would he be tried as a juvenile after? I mean, I left off the details of what he did. Trust me, he needs to be tried and sentenced as an adult. You got caught good. And thank God that family finally has answers and justice. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, this is a great story. If you watch like Cake Boss or Cake Wars or any of those competition shows on Food Channel or Food Network, you know that those cake artists can make almost anything into a cake. And it is incredibly realistic, right? And how lifelike it is. I've seen Duff. What show was Duff the Baker on where like they got hired by the Corvette Museum or whatever to make a life-size Corvette made of cake. And it looked just like
Duff Goldman.
Yeah, there you go. Like it is incredible what they can do. I don't even know how they do it. And the trick is like on the Food Network competitions anyway, the cake has to be edible. So you can't sculpt it out of styrofoam. I mean, you can have some plastic or wiring or whatever, but at the end of the day, like you've got to be able to eat this cake. So this is a great story. A couple, they have a dog. His name is Arthur, and he's just an adorable little dog. He's like a whippet. And so they commissioned a life-sized cake that would look exactly like their dog, Arthur, a life-size whippet cake. And when it arrived, they said, oh, we can't eat this. It looks just like Arthur. They could not bring themselves to take a knife and cut the cake. Here's what Anna, the wife, said. She said, you don't understand. This cake was literally the same size and weight as my dog. It was twice the size I thought it was going to be. It came in this genuinely ridiculous huge box. And I was thinking, oh my God, what have I done? And sure enough, it is a dead ringer for the dog, Arthur. It can feed like 40 people. And she said, I've ordered cakes from them before. They're massive legends of cake art. I just wasn't prepared for how realistic it was going to be. I could not bring myself to cut Arthur.
Somebody needs a big freezer in the garage.
You do it? I mean, here's a cake. It looks so much like Darby that it could be Darby.
No.
Could you do it?
No.
I don't think I could either. I think especially the head. You know, especially the head. I'm not cutting into Finn's head.
I'm freaking out thinking about it a little bit.
I know.
Doc and I are going to post this on our Facebook. I'm going to tell you why. There's some photos, and I want you to see them. You see the real dog, Arthur. Then you see the cake dog. And then you see a guy holding a plate with a piece of cake on it, and it's Arthur's eye that he has. He's going to eat Arthur's eye. It is so insane. It's so, so, so good. And I don't know what it costs. Like they didn't say in the story what this cake cost, but what an amazing thing to bring out at a party. I mean, what
creepy though.
Thing.
It's creepy, though, isn't it? Also, I mean, you bring it out at a party and put it on the dining room table, and he's standing there, and people are walking around. I know people are amazed, but there's something creepy about it.
When you see the guy holding the plate, and it's Arthur's eye, the detail. These people are artists. No,
it's
like seriously,
cost $1 gazillion for this. Yeah, company. It's got to be way expensive. Got to be.
If you watch these cake contest shows that they run all year round now, like these, what these people can do with sponge sugar and airbrushed frosting, it's amazing. It's amazing, but I don't think I could eat Arthur's eye. It looks exactly like it.
If we did this with Mojo, I don't think that there'd be any way we could eat the cake.
Mm-mm. No, Bridget could not. Now I
couldn't,
also,
I couldn't do that freezing veterinary thing either. I couldn't freeze them either. I'm not doing none of that.
No.
I gotta say, y'all, though, I mean, it's cake. Cake is so good.
Cake is really good. Could you just eat like the back half of his body?
It's not a carrot cake, is it? And if it's a carrot cake, we might have a problem. I like a carrot cake. Really?
How about
it's amazing how easily you're selling out your pets once it gets upgraded a little bit.
How about if I don't eat Finn's face, but I take like that last big floofy part of his tail because I like frosting, and there's going to be a lot of frosting on that floofy tail piece.
Yeah.
And Lamar, you can have one of Finn's paws. Doc and Max would have an ear.
That wouldn't be a problem for a paw.
We're not.
I'll eat his little snout. I'll take his little black snout.
You won't get to him.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Here's Jesse.
Hi.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. You. So your husband is a policeman, huh?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. What happened?
With him? Officer.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I know how scary and just vicious raccoons are. After our trip to Gatlinburg last year, there's a sign at the cabin that says don't put your trash outside. Well, my husband was like, oh, it'll be fine. So all of a sudden, we hear like this loud banging, and we look outside, and this raccoon has knocked over and pulled the top off of one of these like super duper Rubbermaid trash cans. And we were like, how did he do that?
Because they're monsters. So go ahead.
Right. Exactly. So my husband goes out and his friend Jerry goes out, puts it back up. And within seconds, like they run back in, close the door. Here's the raccoon again. And it jumps up, pulls the lid off of it. To make a long story short, this raccoon was ferocious. My husband and Jerry went outside to confront the raccoon, to shoo it off. It sat back, put his fist up like he was going to attack them, and we were like, no way is this happening.
Yes.
Then so it comes charging at my husband and Jerry. They run in screaming like girls into the cabin. They slam the door. It has a glass front, and the raccoon is just standing there like, what you going to do now? And they're sitting there, and they're like, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? So they find a broom, and they're like, we're going to hit it with a broom. They stick the broom out through a crack in the door, and they're, like, waving it, trying to hit the raccoon. The raccoon grabs the end of the handle and pulls the broom out. They're just like, oh,
the raccoon was kicking a policeman and a construction guy's butt. Do you
now
see,
that's
you see what I you see what I
that
did?
That is the Walker Texas Ranger of raccoons.
That
and
was
crazy.
Yeah.
And so my husband in law enforcement, he's like, now he's armed and dangerous, you know. So what do we do? So they start grabbing canned food and they're throwing it at him, and every time they throw it, they're screaming like, ah, such girls. And my best friend and I were laughing so hard at them, and my daughter was like, this is awesome.
And now, did your husband have his gun with him?
No, he didn't.
Because he could have fired a shot over the raccoon's head or something like that, you know?
You know, I honestly think as crazy as this raccoon was, it probably had a ballistics vest on.
Raccoon would have caught the bullet like in The Matrix.
And spit it back. That's what they do. Yep.
It was insane. And
I think Sherry, with this story, Sherry is getting more and more respect for me in the way I handled the situation. I handled it stealth-like.
Well, that's why I had to call and tell you all this story, because Raccoons are crazy.
They're crazy. They're crazy.
Nuts. So, Bob, you did the right thing.
How did the cop versus raccoon standoff finally end?
Well, the raccoon brought friends.
More came?
Yeah, he got back up. And so my husband and Jerry just were like, okay, as long as there are no bears, then we're good. And
I'm so freaked out that raccoon chased them inside and grabbed the broom.
No, I like that it reared back on its haunches and put up its fist.
Yeah. And we actually have a picture of the raccoon with its fist up that I'm going to send in to you all.
Post it up on our Facebook and on our website.
Can you do that today, Jesse?
We're going to put you on hold. Zach's going to give you a prize and an address to send that picture to, okay?
Yeah, I want to show it to my wife to show her how I saved the
family. He'll act like your raccoon was his raccoon, though. You watch. You were thinking that, weren't you? You were plotting.
No, I wasn't.
You were. I can tell by your face.
Let me tell you why. My wife knows that sometimes I make the movie start, sometimes the picture starts on the phone.
She can't really work.
I never get a good shot.
Hang on, Jesse. Hang on.
Oh, wow. That's funny. You see that? You owe me an apology because they can be vicious. That thing put his dukes up.
Yeah, but yours didn't. Yours was eating meatloaf. Who was it? Whose husband was in the airborne Suzanne who said, your raccoon was eating meatloaf? She dissed you hard on that
she
raccoon.
She did.
But he was
she
afraid
did.
Of
no
bugs.
Respect. I was, I'll tell you what I was afraid of. I was afraid of getting bitten, and the thing is rabid. Right?
And you have to get rabies shots.
Yeah, I have to get a rabies shot.
Well, I am totally on your side with
thank
this.
Thank you,
if
my
I came
friend.
Upon that,
thank you.
They have fang-like little teeth, and they have
razor,
claws on their
razor-like
hands.
Razor-like claws.
And they
That's
might be
exactly
rabid.
Right.
I'm with him.
Thank
I would have been.
Thank you
I
very,
would,
very
I
much.
I would have done the same thing.
And I let the thing go. You know.
You know the animals in your neighborhood talk behind your back. They're like, yeah, the house with the lighthouse? Oh, yeah. He plants salad out front. They put meatloaf in the can out back. It's amazing.
You know, it's true.
There's coyote urine by the front door. It's a party.
You're right. I got to buy the deer, the coyote, and the raccoons a college education.
Yeah,
it's
seriously.
It's the only thing I haven't given them. It's about a Sherry Show.
A possum's going to show up needing help with its visa bill. You
I
watch.
Know. Yeah.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
One of my girlfriends sent me this story. I just love it so much. Patrice Banks was earning six figures working for DuPont as an engineer, but she had an idea for her life, kind of a different vision. So she started volunteering at mechanic shops around the area. This is in Pennsylvania to learn how to fix cars. She went and enrolled in a mechanics night school. She was the only woman in a class full at 30 of 18 and 19 year old guys. She said, I was just tired of feeling helpless about my car and, you know, what am I going to do? I'm always having to ask men and then trust that they're not ripping me off. Anyway, she's founded the Girls Auto Clinic. It's the first business of its kind in the whole country. It's car care memberships, car care education classes, hands-on mechanic workshops for women looking to learn the skills themselves, and they fix your car. And while they're fixing your car, you can have mani pedis.
Genius. Genius.
Yeah. Genius. She's going to be successful. That's a great idea.
I want this. And she said, listen, I went to school. I'm a mechanical engineer. But what goes on under the hood of a car for a mechanic has a whole lot to do with intuition based on touch, smell, hearing, seeing, and experience. She said there's a reason why really good auto mechanics are so prized, because it's more than just a skill you can learn. It's almost like a like it's a zen kind of a thing that you have to get in there and do it. So how much fun would it be to be able to take your car for like an oil change or new tires or whatever and learn a little something about it and then get a mani-pedi? I love this idea. I hope she franchises it. And that it goes absolutely everywhere. So once again, let's shout out this girl boss, Patrice Banks of the Girls Auto Clinic. Round of applause.
Yay.
This is Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.